this is kind of what I would think is if I'm playing with a friend that we would go commando together, sitting on the couch.
Oh, man.
Welcome again to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
Hey there, I'm Nolan.
The PlayStation just announced the PlayStation Classic that will come out in December with 20 preloaded games. It's not obviously the first company to do so. The NES and SNES classics have sold like crazy. Huh. The Sega Mega Drive Mini is now something that's been talked about, and rumors of Nintendo 64 Classic are kind of right around the corner.
Is it weird that I'm kind of over it?
Yes. Well, no, it's not weird.
I don't think it's weird, because rather than talking, like, I mean, we could sit here and be like, oh, what games do you think are going to be on this?
Right.
Or like, oh, are you going to get this? Because we've done that already. Mm-hmm. But at this point, it's like, rather than talking about these games individually or speculating what games are going to be installed, I have a different angle.
Okay.
All right. What's the angle?
Generally speaking, are these classic mini consoles just a cash grab, capitalizing on our nostalgia with games that they should already go ahead and just give us on their respective modern systems? Why or why not?
Yes.
No.
Ooh.
Sort of.
Maybe. look. Is it a cash grab? 100%.
Okay.
Even more than that, yeah.
Should they give us those games on the current consoles for free? No. I don't agree with that. Because why give things away for free? I like free, but like that's not fair.
Because they once released them, they were bought en masse, made them a lot of money, brought them to where they were today. You can't re-release the games as is just to... And so you...
Every other form of media and art, as it ages, gets rarer and more expensive. Music, pieces of art. Why would video games become free?
But no, see, I disagree with that. I think that at any time, you and I right now can go on Spotify and listen to any old song that we want to without paying an extra dime.
I'm kind of torn.
I see your point. But
we're retro gamers to at least some degree, and it's we're finding it increasingly difficult to play these old games because they're not widely available. It's not easy to be able to get an original console. They're obviously not producing the console nor the games any longer. And maybe that's not the solution. Maybe there's some kind of subscription. They're going to have to come up with something eventually, because here's the thing. People that want to play these games are playing these games.
Right. True. And PlayStation Network already does a streaming service. You stream games. You pay a monthly fee like Netflix and you play the games that are available. I don't like that.
Why a PlayStation Classic then if they're already doing that? I mean, it falls back. It is just a cash grab. We know that. That's no
surprise. Because you can play offline and it's not subscription based. I like to own games. Personally, I like physical copies. In an increasingly digital world, it's hard for me to justify physical when digital is so good and nice to have. But I don't like the idea of streaming games. I don't like the idea of not technically owning a game, like an always online kind of service. So it's okay for some people that never played the games. And for those who want to experience it again, sure, I'm just kind of over it. I don't like hearing about it anymore. I don't want classic consoles.
Well, you're going to get them whether you want to or not. You don't have to buy one, and you probably won't, because this PlayStation Classic is set for $100.
It's going to keep going up too. Like, yeah.
Generally speaking, that's steep. I'm not going to...
Yeah, it is.
$100 is...
For some of the games you already own.
I mean... And for the general populace, that's an expensive price tag for just, for a lot of games you already own and many of the games that you don't even want or that you're going to play once.
Right.
Yeah,
or
it's probably two or three titles that are sticking out to most people that they want to be able to go back and relive.
Yeah.
At this point in the podcast, we generally like to invite you to join us as we talk, I guess, specifically about our retro game of the week, General Chaos.
Overview.
Not even to try.
Oh no! You'll have to go back and listen to it. I did it all the way all throughout. Those are the best ones, and I
Full, and I know. Full on Easter egg style?
Did you hear it, Kenny?
Not really. Y'all just weren't paying attention. There.
Because no, I don't like being secret attacked by
I want
your
my
segues.
Puns overt.
You're not. Oh, well, this one, you're going to have everyone else that's listening to it. I feel like they're going to know each time, but because I hit it probably 4 or 5 times.
What, you said General Chaos that many times?
No. I don't say the title all the time.
He said Mineral Chaos a few times.
No, that's not the only way to do those things, and that's probably the worst
I'm
way
mad
to do
that you did that.
To be honest, the real way to do these things are to make it like where you don't even recognize it. Like, that's a real segue,
no,
but
it's
I always
annoying.
Just make them so bad. General Chaos was a game that was generally developed by Game Refuge Inc. and published by Electronic Arts. Now, okay, before we start, like Electronic Arts, EA, has gotten a bad rap in recent years, but they weren't once the enemy to all gamers. Do y'all remember that? They
oh,
weren't
absolutely.
Always evil.
Yeah, sure.
They produced quality titles.
Yeah. Or at least published them.
Yeah. They published quality titles, at least some of them, and so at one point in time, and it was around this time, I think, even that they were releasing some well-known and respected titles. So this game was released in 1994 on the Sega Genesis, and it is a satirical arcade strategy game on a console. I can confidently say that we have never played a game in this exact genre.
That's probably true.
Not really. A
satirical arcade strategy game. You might be able to throw in a couple of other things in there, but satire, I mean, it's very kind of over the top. How would you describe it, Kenny?
Probably like that.
I would describe it as extra.
Extra? Kenny, you couldn't give me anything there. I'm like, I'll do a softball.
You nailed it.
He said,
what
yeah,
you
just
said.
Like, arcade. Now, I saw arcade in there. Why arcade? Maybe just because...
just play style. Like, it's short, it's competitive, it's like pick up and play and be done. It's got this, like, movement kind of situation that...
Yeah.
It just feels arcade-y
in
terms
feel
of
that
gameplay.
Way. Yeah, I can't really describe it, but it feels like an arcade game.
That's the same way, Kenny, I would describe it, probably, by the way.
Extra.
And then... strategy game, which typically finds its home on the PC and similar kind of consoles. Anytime that we have played a few kind of strategy games on the console as a part of this podcast.
Yeah, real-time strategy on the console can be real-time scary for my console. And
generally speaking,
in a world of chaos. Because we've played a few that haven't delivered. It can be hard to get controls and movement and some of those things to be good. And I'm sure that's something we'll talk about as we get deeper into really talking about General Chaos.
An important note kind of up front in this overview section is that, so this game is single player. You can play all by yourself, but that's not really like the primary fun in this game or function of this game. I think where this game shined the most in its day was its one-on-one play capabilities. So it's got multiplayer, not only where you can play against a friend locally, obviously, like in the same room on the same TV, but you can play with them in the campaign as well. You can play two-player head-to-head or two-player side-to-side, and that's kind of some of the charm here.
Right, so you can play 4 people simultaneously.
I don't think
so.
No,
just 2.
Yeah, no, with an adapter, you can.
Oh, yeah, okay.
There's an adapter,
No, with a multiplayer adapter, it expanded up to 4 people.
Right.
As you said that, I was thinking of the Genesis in my head. I'm like, 2 inputs.
No, I'm sorry. Not as a default.
Yeah, but generally, and not just to throw that one in again.
This episode's so chaotic.
You can just play two people also.
Right.
So you can play 2 people. I guess with your adapter, you can play 3 or 4 head-to-head or side-by-side.
Which it's cool that you get both modes, the play together against the campaign or the compete against each other simultaneously. It's cool.
Yeah, I think multiplayer is pretty rare. Like when you're thinking about Genesis era, like,
oh yeah,
I can't name
time.
Many multiplayer games. NBA Jam, and then maybe I don't know
Honestly, multiplayer, although there were games on the Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis, that's not that it didn't seem like that was their primary focus by any means.
Right. Sometimes if it got included, it got included like as a bonus after
that's
the fact
it.
Feature, like it wasn't a primary thing.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's it. And usually it's kind of like pales in comparison to the single player functionality.
Sure.
But in General Chaos, it seems as though they were focusing more on that multiplayer experience, and even with that, kind of just put in that single player experience.
Yeah, not to the point where the single player feels lacking.
It doesn't suffer.
I thought for a single player, especially in this era, like they did a good job of making the AI not be completely idiotic, and it was okay as a single player experience.
Kenny just hops in right now and he's like, and I just give this game my vote for New Game Plus status.
What do you guys think?
General Chaos, there's not much of a story here. You are General Chaos, the blue team.
I think, yeah.
And,
yes.
And his army. And you're against General Havoc and his army, and he's the red team. And you've got this overworld map with different territories that you have to fight. You have to go to and fight the enemy forces on. And they're slightly altered terrain and visuals there. You try to win more battles than Havoc, and you finally get to the enemy base and destroy it.
Or the enemy gets to your base and destroys it. That can certainly happen too.
That can most certainly happen. It is kind of an isometric perspective. Kind of one last thing there is that it's not a top down, and it's definitely not like first person or anything like that. It's kind of isometric, cartoony, where you're kind of controlling and really pointing and clicking where these soldiers are going,
yeah,
and telling them to attack.
Gameplay.
One nice thing is that, especially for a real-time strategy game, sometimes controlling your units and learning what they do and those kind of things can be tough. This game is good in that it gives you, I thought, a pretty well-thought-out training experience that was thoughtful, informative, and still kind of fun, even though being rather casual. They call it boot camp. And having that really helped me jump into this game knowing what I was doing. And I think we could kind of walk through some of the units and what they do, because that really is the crux of this gameplay, is you're picking a squad of units that's competing against another squad of units and then strategically trying to eliminate the enemy. And so it's got kind of this rock, paper, scissors thing going on where you don't know which squad the other person is picking. And depending on which squads you end up with, your strategy is going to be completely different as to how to win.
And just before we talk about those different classes, those characters, you mentioned the tutorial mode. Boot camp, I think, is an imperative for someone who's never played this game before.
Absolutely.
Because I just tried to jump into a single player game without having any idea what I was getting into.
I bet that was a mistake.
I will tell you that it was general.
Nope.
It was crazy. Yeah, general craziness. Insane. Like, if you don't know what you're getting yourself into,
you just pushing buttons and nothing,
and
happening.
You have no clue what's going on. You get in a fist fight, someone shoots you, dude. Absolute nuts. Skeletons on the field, medics running on and off. It was just completely insane.
People brawling and punching each other in the face.
Absolute nuts. And so going through that boot camp, listen, if you're going to try this game, please play boot camp first. It will introduce you to the classes, tell you kind of their range, and then how to control and generally to play how to play the game.
So first off, we have the gunner as one of the classes that you can have on your team. And the gunner is kind of just like a machine gunner, like balanced soldier class. I mean, nothing special about this character, but pretty useful for me on the team that I chose. I think I was choosing the assault team mostly, and the gunner was pretty good.
I think he's well-rounded. He's got good, decent range, but one of the frustrations is that, and you have no control over this, it's just kind of random, is that his gun jams up, mm-hmm. and it takes, man, a good round, like a 5 seconds, whatever, yeah. 5 seconds for him to unjam his gun and then to be able to shoot again.
And I think to them, that was them balancing the class,
that's
and
what
it's
they were
a
doing.
Bad balance. Like,
that is a weird way to balance
a
class for sure. Each of these classes have strengths and weaknesses, and that was the way that they balanced out the gunner. I don't know.
No.
Another class that you have is the launcher, and it is kind of your slow firing, long range weapon.
It's the game sniper, now, kind of.
Yeah, it's
I mean, there's not now, a sniper, so if you're gonna have a sniper, I would attribute it to this one. I think the game does too.
Okay,
I guess I can see the drawing the line there. It feels different to me, but I like that you have a really long range, high damage unit that positioning on is super important, and I like that the damage from this was blockable. So if you're hiding behind terrain, that when the nice. Launcher's launching at you, you're safe from that. And so it was again, it was just kind of their way of balancing and making both long range and close range work just in different situations.
Now, launching the rockets, I know that with the range that it has, it's also able to, I think that if you're close enough, maybe it might proc or trigger, that it can sometimes cause instant death if you, you can't really do anything.
I think it's random.
The interesting thing about this game is that you really can't do anything. You move them, you move your units, and then you say, and then you press fire and everyone fires at the same time.
Yeah.
So you can't.
I thought, and I may be wrong, but I thought if you were cursoring over and telling them to fire, that they would also try to fire more specifically at where your cursor was.
Really?
Oh, I didn't get that at all.
But it's literally chaotic enough that, like, I may have been trying to control that, and I couldn't, just because, like, they're already going to fire at whoever's closest. So it might have been the AI just looking like, you know, I might have been, like, younger brothering, where I thought I was doing things playing a video game and wasn't half of the time I was playing this. There's a good possibility that that's the case.
And yeah, and because of the chaos, you don't really know what's going on.
Right. And it doesn't take long to get chaotic. This game gives you a couple of seconds to prep, but it's not like a start and reposition and then tell it to go. It just goes.
Let's quickly go through the rest of these classes. So you've got the chucker, and that is your grenader. That's the guy. He doesn't have a gun. He's kind of just chucking a grenade in the air.
That class.
Low rate of fire.
Right, but it lobs it, so it goes over, like, obstacles, barricades and stuff.
The people hiding from the rocket person would get hit by it. So that's a nice little balance, I think.
And when they're chucking grenades at you, you can kind of see their trajectory, and and you can move your character. So it's got plenty of time for you to be able to avoid that damage.
And then there was another class that was really similar to that, called the Blaster, that didn't chuck grenades but chucked giant, like, piles
bombs.
Of
dynamite.
yeah. And so it was, like, shorter range. It still threw it up and in an arc, so it still went over stuff. I think it hit harder and had the chance of, like, automatically killing sort of like the launcher, and did sort of area damage. So real strong, but very short range on those. So
it
they were
like a worse
hard to position.
To me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they do more damage, but none of it. You don't see any stats.
Doesn't matter.
You barely see much of anything, right? You just see an icon of what they do.
Yeah.
You've got one more.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to talk about them because I hated this class.
Why? The pyro?
Because I always died to them. I liked the real long range stuff. And so when they got up in my face and killed me super effectively, I was not a fan of it. And so the Scorcher did not do it for me.
He said you don't want to talk about it. And then you talked about it.
No, I didn't talk about it. I just introduced to it one of you guys can talk about the terrible things it does.
The Scorcher uses a flamethrower and has super short range because of that, but is like, I mean, it will
but
melt your character.
Thrower.
It's a flamethrower. You're going to burn, and it's like really strong.
Yeah, and it can hit multiple soldiers. It's a fast weapon. And so I loved using it, but yeah, I mean, I hated it being used against me. It was another thing that was very dangerous when they came around you. You've got to run from a Scorcher if he's coming after you. So these are the different classes, and so we walked through them very quickly, and what you're doing is it's a 5v5 battle, typically. Yeah, we'll explain some other things of what the matchup could be, but it's typically a 5v5 battle to the death, and you've got these different classes, and you can have a different mixture. Nolan, you kind of threw out earlier, but there's different kinds of squads that you get to decide before you start the map. And I don't know what all of them are, but you could have like a demolition squad, an assault team. You can have different ones, which are comprised of different kinds of these units we just went through.
Yeah, I kind of remember. So the assault team is the well-balanced one. So you have a gunner, a rocket guy, a chucker, a flamethrower, and a demolition. So you have one of each. The demolition one's more heavily focused on explosives. So you have a chucker, dynamite dude, and rocket launcher, I think. And then I don't remember the brute force one.
I do remember specifically, because it's so different than all the others, is that you can go commando. Is that a terminology for like no underwear?
I don't think it is anymore, though. It's so used to describe that.
It was used enough long enough that if you say go commando, people are going to think you mean skivvy-less.
Well, so that's where five of your guys run without pants on to the enemies.
Yeah.
Commando is actually where you are in command of a two-person squad rather than five people. And if we haven't clarified, when you're in control of the five people, that might be overstating.
You're not in control
of the five people.
At all.
It cycles through and you pick where they go to. And again, then you press a button and everyone fires at hopefully whatever's closest to them. That really is what it is.
This game really was aptly named. I know we've beat that joke to the ground, but it gets really chaotic when things are actually happening.
I would even posit that they created the game and then created the title afterwards.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely.
They were like, guys, this is not okay.
And this is nuts.
Right. Like they did the gameplay, they described it, and then they like built a whole name and parody around it. Would not surprise me in the least.
So they made this game, realized that it's actually kind of unplayable, and they were like, this is the mechanic.
Exactly. They're like, no, you know what? We're going to throw the satire crazy tag on it, and then people will understand.
And they're like, oh, I get it.
I hope that that's what happened. So back to this commando thing. It's a two-person squad, and you actually do have control of your characters.
Yes.
You get a switch between them, and this is kind of what I would think is if I'm playing with a friend that we would go commando together, sitting on the couch, and we'd be able to just each control one of the characters and not have to worry about switching in and out.
That would be the best way to play, I think.
Oh, sure. It puts you at a disadvantage, right? Because it's two versus five, but I don't think it is a disadvantage because you will have so much more control over your characters.
Oh, yeah.
You can move them so much more quickly, put them exactly where you want them. I think that's the way to play.
Right. I know you said it, but for people who haven't pictured this game, like when you're playing commando, if you move the D-pad, your character moves in that direction.
Yeah, so you
if
have
there's
full
a
D-pad
missile
control.
Shooting at them and you move up, it just moves up. With all the static characters, you would have had to have selected that cursor out of one in five, gotten to them, like scrolling through individually one at a time, found where on the map you wanted them to move, and then hit go, and then the character would start moving there. And wouldn't do anything until they get there and then start firing. And so it's a totally different mode of play.
Oh, hey, what about that mechanic, the close combat thing, where if you get too close to an enemy, the game pauses and goes into this other like state where those two characters that were too close get in a fist fight.
It's not like you just kind of described it like Final Fantasy VII, like it goes into a different kind of world. Everybody just stops fighting and stares at the people that are fist fighting.
Like even the dead people are just like,
the little animation that shows it. It's sort of classically cartoon brawlish with the little smoke cloud and, you know, explosions coming out. That's fun. But then it breaks into this basically who can spam buttons the fastest competition.
That being said, and I think I finally got down to it because it frustrated me at the beginning of the week, but I think that I did enough research to figure out what it was. If you spam the same button, you've got a punch button and a kick button. If you spam the same button too many times, the enemy opponent, even if you deplete their health fastest, will fall down, pull out a handgun, and then shoot your character. You never experienced that? I had that so many times.
Oh, sometimes it still works. Like, you can still beat them just spamming the same thing, but like, 60% of the time they're going to shoot you.
Yeah, they shoot you. So the way to, I think you can avoid that by just alternating between your punches and your kicks. You're going to beat the enemy AI because they're not as fast as you, but you just punch and kick, and then after one person falls, everybody goes back into the battle.
It's absolutely so silly. That's the satire part. Like, that was actually kind of funny.
I like the concept of it and the idea of kind of having a little... If the actual mechanics there had worked better, where it was like a little fighting game in the middle of this strategy game, you know, where you actually had to actively block and, you know, where there was some like thought and skill to it, but it ended up feeling real kind of cheap, and almost because it was so easy to win, almost like if everybody gets close, you try and just move your units in and force all of the fights to be resolved hand to hand instead of, especially if you're outgunned in terms of, you know, range or whatever, it can give you a little bit of an advantage for sure.
It's a war, but we have hockey rules. This is hockey.
Yeah, kind
of. That's pretty fair. We haven't really talked about it much, but one of the things that frustrated me the most was that there's no health bar for any characters. I don't even know how they would necessarily do that.
All right.
Unless I missed it. Is there a health bar?
No, there's not. Okay. I mean, I know, unless I missed it.
I think it's there. It just never shows. I think your characters can take so much damage.
Then there's, yeah, okay. Well then maybe, there's but then not. There's no it's health bar. Hidden. There's no way to, there's no way to track that either.
Well, right. But it's not like you get hit and then you're out or you're in. Like they,
right. You've got, yeah, you can either take certain amount of damage or it's just right. Set on a timer or it has predetermined if you're going to win the battle or not. There's nothing
you can't
to tell,
even really,
really
tell.
No, there's nothing really to tell you how well you're doing, how many times a guy's been shot, how close he is to death or anything like that.
Yeah.
And so you're really just going until the last man standing.
It gives you some of those stats post game.
But you know what they could have done? You know, at the top of the screen, I think there's a little bar up there that shows you what units you have and what units they have. If they even would have just done like a colored bar around the character icons that slowly depletes or something, because
that would have helped a lot.
That would have made the strategy actually matter. This game is a strategy game? No, it's not. There is absolutely zero strategy to this game.
And it made me appreciate like health bars because I think I take them for granted in games, but they're so needed, especially in a game that you're going to call strategy. Yeah, like there is no strategy. First of all, they're just shooting randomly. And then it's like, okay, I hope they kill the weakest person, because if I was in control and this was turn-based, I would group around the weakest low health person.
I mean, where you're standing and how
nope.
you've positioned
nope.
clearly makes a difference as to how the battles go.
Not really.
But I don't think as much of a difference as which units were selected versus their default starting position. And maybe that's because I didn't get good enough at the game to like quickly get people to positions that made sense. But it felt like to me it was more this rock, paper, scissors on did I pick the right squad for the terrain and how close things are going to be. If we're up in each other's face and I've got a bunch of scorchers and you don't, you've got long distance stuff, I am going to win it. It's not like the game doesn't actually respect the classes and what they do and the damage, but it is really hard to implement. And so much of the strategy is that selection, which means that I really like at least how it looked. I didn't get a chance to actually play multiplayer this week, but I loved that in the multiplayer select, it seems at least that you get to, when you're playing with more than one person, pick secretly, which I'm sure some other games have done before. And it's a common trope with like football games these days, if you're playing multiplayer, that you can select, you know, like plays off of pages that you aren't on and different things. But it was neat that you could sort of game what I think they're going to play versus what I need to pick. And there was a little bit of strategy, at least in that element of it.
Aged.
So one of the main things we talk about when it comes to age is the graphics. And I don't know what you guys thought. So I will say that they are poor compared to other Genesis titles. Typically, Genesis has the most beautiful graphics. However, I do think that these graphics work for this game, and they're endearing and even works well for today.
I like that summary, actually, because I was going to come in talking about how much I liked the graphics, but I also was going to come in saying that it didn't look like a Genesis game to me. If I just saw this being played, I would have been like
PC, probably.
Yeah, PC or maybe like, well, because it has the controller, maybe literally arcade cabinet. Like it just it doesn't look to me kind of that classic Genesis look, but it's pretty and fun, and you could understand what was going on for as much chaos as there was. And I know we already said there could have been better clarity for strategic reasons, but knowing which class did what and what your classes was versus the other enemies' classes and the animations, that stuff was pretty clear and relatively easy to follow. And that's hard to do in a game like this, I think. But they did a good job.
Nah.
You don't like the graphics, Nolan?
No, not really. I think they're, like, if you go look at the not the models, but the environments, they're really poorly done. Like the trees look like kindergartners, and I don't think it's
got a little bit of an NES vibe, which it's Genesis, so that's silly. But
I like Genesis graphics, but every time I play Genesis games, y'all mention that like Genesis games are typically beautiful, good.
Yes, yes.
Y'all always mention that, and I had a Genesis, so I know what you're talking about, but like I don't look for it. So me going into this knowing, hey, this is a Genesis game, I didn't have an assumption about the graphics really. And I agree, it doesn't look like a Genesis game, but just based on what I'm looking at, I don't think it looks good. And it's choppy too. Like it felt laggy, and that's not like, I guess that is graphical.
I think that's just a part. I noticed it as, and I noticed that it was laggy as well, but it wasn't, it's not like there were, when a lot of chaos was going on, it's just random. Like sometimes there was a lot of slowdown when there are only two people on the screen, or when you're just moving one character. It's not always just based on there being a lot going on. So kind of just seems like it, in some regards, is just poorly designed or optimized in that way.
Sure. I've been waiting all week to talk about the soundtrack with you guys, though.
No, you haven't, because there's nothing while you're playing, right? Is there no music while you're playing?
There's no music. The menus have some music, but there's no music in the game. It's just explosions. And
you know what? This feels like an Apple II title or something.
It does, yeah.
You know?
I agree.
Because like there's some music at the intro screen, there's some music in between, but when you start playing, all it is just the guys grunting and the explosions.
I guess they didn't put music in it because of the system. Like, I don't know. I guess they couldn't make valid like explosion noises while music was playing at the same time, I guess, because there's so many explosions happening. So I guess that's
because of the lack of like story. I didn't need like the emotional reinforcement of a soundtrack.
I think you always need it though.
I don't know. And it didn't bother me that there wasn't. I didn't like play around and be like, oh, what that really needed was music. I was too caught up in trying to play the game, and I don't think the sound effects that there are bad, and they fit what's going on. And yeah, they probably could have rounded it out a little bit and given it some tone, especially with it being sort of fun. If you could have kind of hit that same tone that they have with the art style in the, you know, in the cutscenes and the intro stuff and all of that with the music, it would have been nice, but I don't think it retracts from the game too much for me.
Or detracts?
No, it literally takes my opinions backwards.
I mean, I did appreciate that they changed the environment, like the desert one versus just the normal, like, grassy knoll one. Yeah. I don't know. But come on. It's not good.
No, right. Well, and then we can move off. We're back to graphics somehow. But I do think that it is not near as good as other Genesis titles. I just think that it works for the game that it was trying to be. I don't think they had to do, when you play strategy games today, they're never in line graphically with other modern games. They're always simplistic in some of the things. But moving on from graphics, and even from not volume, but music, or the lack thereof, what about the balance? Did you feel like it was balanced? Could you even tell? Was it just completely chaotic? Or how do you feel the balance between you and the enemy AI, or even you and some of the character types that you were controlling and others?
It mattered enough that between picking your units and then positioning them carefully, that I felt like I was being strategic, because it happened so quickly. And because it takes a little while to internalize moving things and how that works, I didn't find enough ability in myself to like master this, you know. And so I felt like there was a skill ceiling that was well above where I was, and that it would have been better as I got better at the game. I may be wrong. It may just be that bad, but I start pretty bad at these kind of games, and I got a little bit better, but not a lot. And so I think given enough time with people that had actually played this game quite a bit, I think it's there, and I think they did a pretty good job with it.
So you do. So would you consider this a strategy game?
Yeah.
Okay.
I disagree.
Like, it's like an action strategy. I don't know. It's
no, you said it. Leave
no,
it.
I do. And but I'm not trying to qualify. It's certainly not like classic strategy. It's real time and it's active and it's chaotic, but it's strategy.
Yes, you think it's strategy. Okay. I don't. You asked about balance, Dustin. There's no, and you mentioned, can you even tell? No. I opened the game up and it just begins, and I didn't feel a part of the game the whole time. So it's just like, I just felt like I was watching a game play itself. So is there balance? No, I don't think so. And like that takes out fun of playing a video game to me. So I don't think that, and because of that, no, there's no strategy either. Even if I had a mouse and I was on a computer, maybe there's a different story there. But first of all, using a controller to do a mouse's job is always bad. And we've done that before with games and it's hard. But even with a mouse, this game, there's no strategy.
It is hard. I thought for that limitation, and it is a very serious limitation, I don't want to take that away. I thought for them working within that limitation, this game did a much better job of dealing with that than most do.
What did you think that, Dustin?
I'm somewhere in the middle, but leaning more towards you probably, Nolan, and that like I just didn't feel... I didn't feel in control really for the majority of the time. I felt like I was watching. I know we used it in a pun kind of way, but I'm just going to go back to what they ended up calling this game. You can have fun chaos, but when it's like true chaos where you feel like you don't have control and just crazy things are happening until the end of that match, then that takes away that definitely takes away from the strategy, but it also, in my opinion, takes away from some of the fun as well. And so, although Kenny, I wish I would have felt like I was improving throughout this week, but I felt pretty much this. I knew a little bit more by the end of the week, but I felt just as handicapped as I did the very first time I played as the last time I played.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every episode, we determine whether or not this game gets our vote for New Game Plus status, which is our general thumbs up or thumbs down. It does require 2/3 of the vote to swing one way or the other. Nolan, I think you've been most clear about your opinions, so you want to finalize them?
I don't think anyone should play it. It's not fun. I've kind of stated why. It doesn't feel like a video game, which is a weird critique. I haven't really said that about any game we've played, but it just doesn't feel like a video game. And the medics that come take your downed people off the screen can walk on water. There are just like weird details that they just ignored, and it's so apparent when you play the game. So because of the lack of just caring, I guess, they just made a game. I'm convinced that they saw the product and were like, we're just calling it General Chaos and saying that that's on purpose. No New Game Plus.
That is one negative. I'll go ahead and say that if you could play this game multiplayer, I would say yes to get this game and to play this game. For the single player functionality, I would say no, don't get it. It's too chaotic. It's not enough strategy. It's not going to be enough fun. Since, though, that it's going to be difficult for the majority of our listeners to play this game multiplayer, especially today, then I'm going to say no. If this is 1994, 1995, and you are able to play this with a friend, a sibling, then I would probably encourage it. I think it could be fun, especially going commando with your friend. There's nothing more fun than that.
It's okay.
But when it comes to playing it today, I think age has a big factor to play here, and then just the general chaos,
too many times.
I'm not even anymore trying to be.
Oh, it's like, just literally the best description of the game. I don't blame you.
Because of how absolutely chaotic and crazy it is, then single player alone is not going to give you lasting fun for the majority. So I too am going to side with Nolan and revoke my vote. Nah, I'm going to give my vote. And the negative, New Game Plus status.
Nice. Okay, Kenny,
it's always nice when your opinion doesn't matter because it means I don't have to talk too long. I will just barely give this my vote for New Game Plus status, and only for the following reasons. I think for the time it was made, the kind of game it is, and the things they were trying to do, they did the things they were trying to do very well. I was very pleased with how good the AI was considering. I loved that it being real-time strategy cursor-based, that I didn't completely hate that interface, and that it felt like something that if I had given it enough time to get good at, and I didn't, that you could get to where control actually mattered. I think this era is fun for me, and the genre is fun for me, and they knew what they were about and made a game that did it. And so I think there's some people that will like it. Probably those people played it as children, and it's probably not as good going back and playing it. But I think they did enough good things to say, hey, it's still worth checking out.
Nevertheless, General Chaos does not get New Game Plus certification.
Woo!
But what did you think about General Chaos? We had a couple write in. Rycon said, he began his email with sigh. Sigh. Yep. I tried to find this game at two retro game stores on Monday. No dice. I then tried ordering off Amazon. Despite rush shipping, I realized my order wouldn't arrive until October the 2nd. Canceled the order. I called three other nearby retro game shops. None had the game. Went on a retro game vendor's website and tried to order. You're spending way too much time, Rycon, trying to get this game.
Yeah, we suck. Don't feel like
the website crashed in the middle of my order. Went to try to redo the order, and the copy I was going to purchase was suddenly gone. I contacted support, and they were able to find it and ensure rush shipping for receipt on Thursday. Paid way too much. Received an email with the tracking number. Waited. Just returned home from work and found there was no package waiting. Wow. Looked at the tracking info. Sorry, we attempted to deliver your package, but no representative was present to sign. I numbly agreed to delivery the next day, though I would be busy all day and unable to receive and play. Sadness. Well, I sadly won't be able to play before the podcast is recorded, but rest assured I fully experienced. Wait for it. General Chaos.
What is it about this title that makes people
want to? I hope his story is made up.
I do too, because it's not worth, and I'm sorry, but...
If you're a collector and enjoy playing along, pick them up, and I love that it gave you the pun. And so I'm going to say bravo, well done.
I don't think he's necessarily working for it. I just think... Here's the thing, though. The chaos has only just started if you're about to start playing this game, Rycon.
He has no idea.
Mark wrote in and he said, my best friend and I were looking for two-player games about a year ago and saw this and remembered it being awesome as a kid. We played it and 10 minutes later realized how bad, I'll just use that word instead, it was. Okay. No strategy, no control over the guys. Our childhood was ruined. Apparently, there are a lot of people that like this game, though. I just don't know what they see in it.
Hmm. Who likes it, though? I want to talk to that person.
It's a pretty popular game, at least for people that played it. No. It really
I don't know
is.
About a popular game. Like maybe it. A cult classic?
Yeah, I would say more cult classic style. Like in reading about it this week, the places I found it, the people that had an opinion tended to be pretty enthusiastic online.
Yeah, but the majority of people that are ever going to share an opinion about something, well, that's maybe not true, are going to like it. I don't know. I don't know. I don't think there's going to be a general audience that enjoys this game. Unless we're talking, again, multiplayer. I think there's something there.
No, I think y'all giving too much credit.
Thank you guys for writing in. As always, you can send in your thoughts and or commentary to ngppodcast@gmail.com, or you can go into the commentary channel on our Discord. But for now, we are going to put aside General Chaos, and we are going to randomly select the next video game that we're going to be playing for the next 7 days.
Here it goes.
And it is... a 1995 action RPG for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System.
Whoa, freaking what? Hmm.
Developed by Quintet and published in Japan by Enix and everywhere else by Nintendo. Oh, yes.
Wait, didn't we just play this?
We're playing Chrono Trigger again. Final Fantasy, any of that. No, we're not. We are going to be playing for the next 7 days, and you're going to be playing with us Terranigma.
Yeah.
Really?
That's part of the Castle, the Illusion of Gaia series.
Wait. Are you serious?
Yeah.
No. Wait, what do you mean?
I mean that it's not a true trilogy in that it's 1, 2, and 3, but there are three games that Quintet made, Illusion of Gaia being one of them, and this is in that trilogy.
Crazy.
Wait.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So a trilogy meaning that it's a three games that Quintet made, but they're not a part of the same universe or world or what?
I think they're linked in some way.
We're going to have to just say it's an enigma.
LinkedIn? The networking, yeah.
So play LinkedIn.
No, Illusion of Gaia, and then I think Soul Blazer is the other big one. And then, yeah, I'm pretty sure that, what'd you say? Yeah, Terranigma, yeah, that's it.
Am I pronouncing it correctly?
Yeah.
Okay, I've just never used or said that word before. Well, I've never played it. I don't know anything about it. Terranigma. So you're saying it's a part of that trilogy or whatever? Hey, find a copy of Terranigma. Play it along with us this week. We'd love to hear your thoughts by the end of the week, and we'll include them as a part of our podcast next week.
Come talk to us in Discord. It's free. You can go to our Twitter. You can look at our bio, and there's a link that will take you straight to Discord. If you don't know what it is, it's a chatting service, text and voice, for gamers. So we'll see you there.
Got to take a minute and say special thanks to all of you guys who support us on Patreon.com. Our patrons help us make this podcast a reality, and we appreciate you guys, especially our producer-level supporters, Zion, Gimbarino, and Phil. You guys are awesome.
Did you struggle a little bit with that one, Kenny?
Yep.
We also have two new patrons to shout out as a part of this episode. Dusty. What's up, Dusty?
What up?
And Jake. So two new friends coming and supporting us on our Patreon. We are so glad and so thankful that you decided to join us in that way. Thank you,
guys. Yeah, welcome, thanks, guys.
As always, you can find us on our social media. That's Facebook, Twitter, Twitch at NGP Podcast. We've got our YouTube channel, New Game Plus Podcast. Make sure you listen directly to us on any podcast provider of your choice. Subscribe so that you're the first to get new NGP episodes. And while you're at it, leave a kind rating and review. This episode was edited and produced by our good friend Tom Tate. Join us next week as we play the third or second or whatever in the trilogy that is not necessarily the same trilogy, Terranigma. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this has been one crazy, chaotic episode of New Game Plus. Bye.
Honestly, sorry, everyone.